Enjoy. This is what Brooklyn sounds like.
Hey, it's time for Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit. How's it going? Oh man, I'm in such a good mood. I had this art fair, spring break art fair, a shout out I did this really amazing opportunity. I did this project with a sex doll with my collaborator, Sherilyn Neidhart. I'm not going to get into it now, but this is the first moment. It was like going into a tunnel for like 2 weeks. And now this is the first time I'm actually out of it. So I am really, really happy to be here. And I am most excited about my guest today, Abby Eamon, who runs Heckit, a bar and cafe. But we're going to get to that in a second, because first I want to tell you about Radio Free Brooklyn. You know Radio Free Brooklyn. You know, you're listening to it right now, okay? So, you know, it's a really great radio station. It's a nonprofit. All donations are tax deductible. You know, because I know you're paying a lot of taxes. I know my listeners are really getting killed on taxes, selling too much art, getting paid too much to do shows, too much comedy. I know how well comedy pays, and these people are getting killed. So go to Radio Free Brooklyn and donate, because, you know, you need a tax deduction, okay? No, but it's a great station, and it's a great community, and that's really the reason why. I also want to let you know about the Peters Vale and Craft Fair. Who doesn't love a craft fair? How can you not? Okay, so anyway, it's an annual craft fair, and it's December 24th and 25th. It's at the Sussex County, New Jersey Fairgrounds. petersvalley.org, and it benefits, its visitors can browse to buy handcrafted pieces, over 100 artists, and the sales support Peters Valley School of Crafts, fostering creative thinking through, you know, all the stuff that they do, exhibitions, programs, events. So check it out, okay? Be a nice weekend, you know, in the end of September, maybe some leaves will be out there. Okay, so I'm going to make an attempt to introduce my guest today. And this is not easy. This is one of the most complex guests I've had. She's on the second time. She was on a few years ago. So Abby Eamon isn't like really, you know how I like to think of Abby sort of as a community organizer. Is that okay,
sure.
Abby?
Yeah.
Because Abby just opened this new bar that we really want to talk about, because it's a sober bar. It's like a brand new idea. And I just want to tell you where it is. It's on, I have the address written down. Wait. It's on 167 Avenue B between 10th and 11th Street. It's a sober bar fueled by feminine energy. Okay. So we're going to talk about that, but just so you get the idea, brief rundown on Abby. Abby has been, she's been to Burning Man 22 times since 2002, 22 times, and she ran a sign shop there. Now she goes, you know, she's not running the shop anymore. So she also opened a bar 6 years ago, Lucky, on Avenue B, which is very, very popular. That's a regular old a bar that sells alcohol, normal. Heckit, not normal, but great. So Abby's been through, like, what else has she done? I mean, I could go on, but Abby is a person who will, like, people gravitate to. I don't know how else to put it. She's the leader of many communities, and she just has that talent and that energy. And She's in my age group, and she's a huge inspiration to any woman over 40.
Even over 50.
Okay, did we leave anything out, Abby? Is there anything else that you can really think that you that I haven't represented? Well, you did a whole thing with parties at one point, right? Nightlife.
Well, I was in advertising, then I worked at Penthouse magazines. So I was in pornography.
What did you do there?
I was a writer and an editor. Mm-hmm. And then I threw parties. I did fetish parties.
Yeah, that's
sex what it was. Parties, rock and roll parties. I worked at Mother. I got my big production was
closer to the mic, a little closer.
I was one of the co-producers of an event called Click and Drag, which was every Saturday night at Mother for a couple of years there with Chichi Valente, Rob Roth, Kitty Boots. From there, I did Mondo Porno, which was, you know, free porn, burlesque dancers, and rock and roll. I did that at Arlene's Grocery. I did sex parties and fetish parties. I just, you know, I had years as a producer kind of person and a freelance writer. And then I started working for Burning Man. I ran the Department of Public Works sign shop out there, which was 3 months a year for a bunch of years. And it was only 18 years that I've been to Burning Man. I just got back a week ago from my 18th burn. It was hot and dusty, which I know it always is, but it was hotter and dustier. And harder because we hadn't been.
You know, I'm so glad I asked you that question because I remember, I didn't know you then, but I remember like hearing all about you because of all the parties that I knew all the parties. I'm a dork, but I knew about them all and I knew, and I was like, if I was going to have fun, that would be something I would do. But that's like such a huge part of your life, your career, your experience. And I didn't even get to that when I was introducing you. It's so funny.
Well, I've lived many lives.
Yes.
Now the life I'm living is the owner of two businesses right across the street from each other on Avenue B. Lucky the one at 168 Avenue B is 6 years in. It's a, you know, regular bar, a dive bar for grown-ups, which it still is 100% on vision. You know, before I opened, I had the vision and it's exactly the way I had hoped. We have an amazing jukebox. All your music fans should come check it out because it's probably the most interesting and eclectic jukebox in New York City, if anywhere. It's the only place you're going to hear TV jingles, ad jingles, William Shatner singing Mr. Tambourine Man, then the Sex Pistols and, you know, Bobby Goldsboro. It's just a really interesting, almost all homemade CDs jukebox. And then across the street, the newly opened Heckett Cafe and Elixir Lounge, which is New York City's only sober bar right now.
So there's two things I really want to know about Abby. One is I want to know the philosophy behind the bar, like as far as like the Heckett is a witch or a
Heckett or Hecate as the witches pronounce it. She's the queen witch and she's also a Greek goddess, so there's lots of lore attached to her. You hear mother, maiden, crone, like the three-faced goddess or witch, that's also her. Her familiars are dogs instead of cats. And she, like, if she's the goddess of the crossroads, and you know, I was just say Google her because there's lots to say. And I don't really know why I chose her as the name of the place. The witches that I've spoken to all tell me that, well, she was reaching out to you. So
okay, but you know, like witches, like this is part of your interest.
Yes,
right.
I mean, I like the idea of witches. And people say, "Are you a witch?" And I say, "I'm only witch adjacent." I do have a couple staff members who are witches. And plenty of friends who are, but I do not practice any of the witchery.
Like, there's like some there's some magic heavy female energy infused.
Yes. That's what
into
I was
this
tapping
bar.
Into
that's
with
what,
her.
That's what that's what we're going for. That's what
totally.
That's what's happening there.
Yeah.
And then also a sober bar. Like this is so fascinating to me. Like why? Oh, by the way, before we get into the particulars and what Abby has to say, you should know, guys, like this got a big, this has gotten so much press. I'm going to read a headline from Time Out New York. A sober dive bar has just opened in the East Village. Oh God, I'm not going to get, Heckett is a very unique, very New York kind of spot, but it's like all the press that I saw when I was doing my research is all about what an original, unique place this is. And I'm saying, like, it's gotten a ton of attention.
Yeah. A sober bar isn't necessarily a unique idea because there was one opened up, I think, in, like 5 years ago called Listen Bar. And now it's only virtual, which, you know, that you can't have a virtual bar unless you want to be in Zoom. But the timing wasn't great 5 years ago, and the timing right now is perfect, which is the first time in my entire life I've had good timing with anything, because there's just a mega crap ton of product right now. And sober curious, the younger people are drinking less. It's just all these things are snowballing to create a really perfect atmosphere and time for there to be sober bars. And there are, I think, last I saw, 20 in America right now, but that was like a month or two ago. Could have doubled by now.
Well, I've noticed, you know, because I like to watch, I like drinking. I like to watch my drinking, not too, I like, you know, I try to control, I mean, less is better for, I mean, not, I drink as little as I can, which is still a lot. But nevertheless, I am aware of all these, like, so being sober has completely changed in the last couple of years. Like, there are people who, like, there are organizations about, like, not drinking so much. It's not about AA. It's not about it's not about you're an alcoholic or you're not anymore.
Well, I mean, AA was created years ago when people were ashamed to be sober.
Right.
They were ashamed that they were alcoholics, and now there are people who aren't drinking who aren't alcoholics. They're just choosing not to drink.
Right.
You know, so it's people are reevaluating their relationship with alcohol and maybe only drinking on the weekends or maybe only drinking, you know, they're just cutting back maybe. There's no longer that shame associated with like, oh, I'm a friend of Bill and, you know, you have to be in these hidden meetings. People are no longer embarrassed to say I'm in recovery. It's a totally, you know, because we've also all the country anyway has reevaluated our relationship with mental health. Like mental health has been, especially since the pandemic, people just talk about their crises more readily and there's just less shame mm-hmm. associated with mental illness.
Mm-hmm. And I was going to say that I also think that the, I don't know, medical community or whatever has come out. They are saying that like alcohol isn't good for you. Alcohol.
Everyone wants to believe that 3 glasses of red wine is the, you know, the thing to keep you living longer. And who knows, the people who live forever, it's genetics. That's what it is.
You can
do your yoga and watch your diet and croak of a heart attack at 35, or you can live to 110, you know, with a million vices. And it's probably more about genetics than it is about your intake of any specific food or substance or butter or red wine.
Yeah, I mean, I can't remember last time I had regular ice cream and I have a cholesterol problem.
Yeah, I just put everything I want in my body.
Yeah, that's good. I should be, I'm with you on that.
I'm not on any drugs to keep me alive longer because I don't go to the doctor to find out what drugs I should be on.
I like this idea. I'm
healthier than anyone I know. So.
Yeah, I can tell you she is. That's because you are like going to, I think if you can go to Burning Man every year, I think you're in really good.
I'm also working condition. My ass off all the time, so that keeps me.
This is true. And you're not sitting at a desk.
Right.
So tell us about, I want to hear about like your idea about like what motivated, like you must have had running Lucky and serving out. You are not sober yourself.
No.
Can I ask you how much you drink?
Well, when I drink a lot because I drink to get drunk. I'm not like, I don't want to have one cocktail with dinner or one beer with dinner because I don't,
you don't want that.
It serves a purpose, like anything else that's mind altering. And so I use it for that purpose.
Oh, that's so do you drink like once a week or something like
totally
that?
Totally depends on what the social calendar calls
for. But you don't
for.
Drink it. See, I'm the opposite. I drink every day almost.
Well, but have interestingly, one glass of wine. I'll be at Heckett working and I call it accidentally sober. Because if I'm behind the bar working, I can't drink because there's no alcohol on the premises. So there I am all night.
Oh, that's
and
good.
I go home and, you know, I don't pass out drunk.
Right, you know? Right.
So it has created more sobriety in my life just, you know, I've defaulted to that.
And when you drink, I'm just curious, what do you like to drink? Is it like a tequila thing?
I'm a PBR. Person. I like cheap, shitty beer.
I love it. Okay. Yeah.
I'll drink margaritas too. But, you know,
hey, you should be promoting the brand of PBR. They should be paying you.
They should be because
we could be promoting that.
We've got PBR coffee at Lucky, which is delicious. It's like Yoo-Hoo. And then across the street, we've got PBR Zero at Heckett. So it's zero ABV PBR. And then we go through kegs of the regular PBR at Lucky because it's the cheapest and I like it a lot. So
yeah. So I am okay. So you've owned Lucky, you've owned a regular bar, you've owned it for, you know, well now it's 6 years. So when you decided to open Heckett, you already knew what having a bar is like. And you liked having a bar, you wanted another bar where there was no alcohol. So why the fuck would anybody want to do that?
Well, I should have my head examined in general. But I mean, there was a bit of a journey with this business. It was originally going to be a restaurant, coffee shop, bar on the Lower East Side because I found this really awesome piece of real estate. And then I was ready to sign the lease on Friday the 13th, right before COVID. Mm. So, you know, that put every plan, you know, on the back burner. And as we were sort of going through the pandemic and coming out of the pandemic, and there was all this commercial real estate available, I sort of scaled back my expectations and was like, maybe I don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. I want to do something else. Mm-hmm. And the pandemic, you know, lots of people were drinking heavily during the pandemic. And it was certainly the first time I'd ever gotten drunk at home alone because we weren't, you know, everyone was just stuck at home.
Right.
And we were doing Zoom happy hours and, you know, just to keep people connected. So Lucky was sponsoring Zoom happy hours.
Right.
And it was the first time I'd ever been drunk by myself. And so,
really?
And a lot of everybody just, again, reevaluated their relationship with alcohol post pandemic because, you know, people were like, wow, you could just have wine by the case delivered to your house. And people are like, maybe I shouldn't drink so much. So I came up with the idea of part coffee tea shop, part sober bar, because in addition to the people who were getting sober or soberer post pandemic, I had also minted myself a whole bunch of sort of alcoholics by creating an attractive community at Lucky. So people were coming to the bar every day for community, but they were drinking and maybe drinking too much. So customer number one had a stroke and his doctor said, maybe you shouldn't drink so much. Yeah. Customer number two got completely sober and both of them were, you know, I was like, well, what can I do for people who don't drink or don't want to drink as much, but still crave that connection and that community. Mm. So that's what Heckett is. It's Lucky, but without the alcohol. So, you know, I moved all of the book parties and the poetry readings and that kind of thing that I had been hosting at Lucky across the street. And I'll tell you one thing, if you do a spoken word evening at a sober bar, people pay attention. They're better listeners because they're not drinking.
Right.
And so we have live music and art, you know, shows and stuff and workshops. You know, people are learning how to marble paper or make candles or make headpieces for the Mermaid Parade. And there are these, you know, group shows that Ohio Mike has done. And we're booked through the end of the year with art shows. And like I said, open mic and poetry readings and book parties and book signings and book readings and all this stuff. It's just it's a better venue for stuff that people should be paying closer attention to.
So you mean you were you were doing a lot of events and stuff at Lucky, and so now it just seems can people bring drinks?
No. You can't take alcohol off the premises of any place with a liquor license. And surprisingly, that's a surprise to some people. I had to chase these idiots down the block the other night because they took their beers and went to the Indian restaurant down the block. And I went and, took their bottles of beer off the table. I'm like, they're like, whoa, whoa, we paid for those. I said, yes, to be consumed on my premises. You're breaking the law and I don't want to lose my liquor license and I'm taking them back.
So what is the difference in, like, is it the same people? Like, what have you noticed? Like, what is there about being in a bar with people drinking and being in a bar that people aren't drinking? Like, what's the difference? What have you noticed?
The only difference is that people aren't drunk. And, if you walk into Hecate, it feels like a neighborhood bar. It feels, there's music on, there's people hanging out, people meet there for a date before they go out for dinner. People, come and have a drink or two and, or during the day they come and they plug their laptop in just like people do at Lucky and work from home. The idea is to create the same ambiance, but not around alcohol.
Right. Because a lot of the places that feel like they don't have alcohol feel like coffee bars.
Well, and a lot of the coffee shops with the exception of the Bean, close at 5 or 6.
Right.
And so if you want to hang out somewhere and not have a drink, even if you're only on medication for a week, where can you go to meet a friend to hang out? Mm-hmm. You can go to a restaurant, but you have to order food. You can go to a coffee shop, but not after, 9 o'clock at night. So this is a space mm-hmm. where you can meet a friend, hang out mm-hmm. and not feel like you have to order alcohol. We've got seltzers, which are inexpensive, but we also have fancy adult, cocktails mm-hmm. that just happen to be alcohol free. Mm-hmm. We also have a big selection of zero ABV beers, and there's so many products. It's overwhelming.
So you're learning a lot about the non-alcohol business.
Yes.
So
yes.
Is that the wave? I mean, is that a wave for the future?
It's a huge wave right now. There's one company, I can't even remember, their sales are up 485% over the past year. Like there's an alcohol-free liquor store called Boisson that just got huge.
Where is that?
Venture capitalist funding. They're everywhere. They've got 5 locations, I think, in New York right now, and they're opening all over the country. And with their VC money, they're, I hope they don't screw up like a lot of people who get VC money do, but they're growing. It's, if you walk into one of their shops, and I haven't been to one of their shops, I've only been to Spirited Away, which was, I think they opened before Boisson. And they moved from almost down by Canal to Nolita recently. I haven't been to their new mm-hmm. spot. But it's that you go inside and it's all of the alcohol-free spirits that are available. So it's like walking into a liquor store, but there's no liquor available.
I've noticed that myself since the pandemic, because, I go through periods, I'm a dry January person. So my local bar that happens to be 2 blocks away that I've go to the most is Pine Box Rock Shop. Shout out. But anyway, I noticed after the pandemic, they had a whole menu, not what you're talking about at Hecate.
It's probably very similar. It's alcohol-free alcohol.
But like beers and, they used to only have one and I'd be like, all right, I'll have a seltzer or whatever. But now I feel like it's a real, I feel like the pandemic, I'm agreeing with you in that I feel like the pandemic really changed, a lot of people's relationship with alcohol.
I think so. It might have accelerated, a movement that was already happening. And, there's a book and a movement that's sober curious, and I'm forgetting the woman's name, but and I've been trying to get her to come in and do an event, because like I said, that statistically younger people under 30, 35 are drinking less. I don't, mm-hmm. I don't know whether that's because they're listening to doctors. I tend to think that they aren't, because I sure as hell didn't listen to doctors. I still don't. Mm-hmm. but I think it's just a trend. And, mm-hmm. it was accelerated by the mm-hmm. pandemic, where people were just too shit-faced all the time.
So, I mean, it's interesting what you were talking about when you got drunk at home alone. Was that something that raised your consciousness? Were you surprised?
It was depressing.
Did you surprise yourself?
Yeah. I mean, well, what the pandemic pointed out three things to me, that I'm a very shallow person. The most important things to me were having a stranger put a plate of food in front of me, shopping and putting my fingers on things I wanted to buy. Like, I like to go to thrift stores and not being able, like, I don't buy anything online. I don't shop online. Yeah. I am anti-Amazon. I just refuse to put another dime in that ass. Whatever.
Yeah,
don't get me started on him.
Preaching
and,
the fire.
Yeah. And I like getting drunk with my friends. I mean, lucky, I like to sing along with the jukebox. And that's, like, for me, Nirvana is singing along to a jukebox with a room full of people.
I love it.
And, you know, we even did an event at Heckett, which was just as joyful but sober, where it was a sing-along, and the idea was you're going to win a cash prize. It was like karaoke, only instead of you singing alone, you picked a song, and everyone sings along.
I love that.
And whoever picked the song that the people sang along the loudest and the longest to won.
I love it.
And my friend Ron, who was the DJ that night, he won because he was throwing on all this. People were choosing stuff, but then in between people coming up and requesting, he was playing his own stuff. And he played All I Want for Christmas Is You, which in December you want to like tear your eyes out of their sockets because you don't want to ever hear that song again. But turns out in April, everyone just went crazy and he brought jingle bells along. So everyone was jingling their jingle bells, and it was so joyous and so fun. And that's my favorite thing. I, if I were a religious person, I'd be in a church choir, but I'm not a big Jesus person.
You know, I'm going to call you out on that because it sounds a little rigged.
What?
The contest.
Well, the thing was that All I Want for Christmas Is You turned out to be the most
beautiful
sung along song.
I love
it. And, you know, he was doing this out of the goodness of his heart. He wasn't getting paid to DJ. He just wanted to do it. So he won the cash prize.
I have to make fun of you. Anyway. Yeah. That's part of my job here. So that's so funny that those are the things that you notice. So you're used to being around people all the time.
Yeah. And I hated the pandemic, and I just hated being alone. I hated drinking alone. I hated being stuck home alone in my apartment. And I mean, I was already going out and doing things, you know, March 16th, they locked us down, and I was already out meeting friends in the park in April. Like, I was drunk in Tompkins Square Park on Easter, which I think was like the first weekend in April, because I just couldn't deal with being home alone. I know people who are still home alone. They don't want to go out and do things, or they have, you know, health issues where they're, you know, still don't feel safe in crowds. And I was like, yeah, whatever. I don't care about
this. But you live alone, right?
Yeah.
And you're down with that.
Yeah. Well, and that's part of why it was awful being alone, because I live alone. If I had, you know, if I'd had a roommate or a partner, it might not have been so depressing.
You know, that's
or maybe it would have been more depressing.
No,
I don't know.
No, yeah, right. You're right. But it really, I think that the pandemic actually, I think that really did affect everybody. The people that lived alone, people that didn't live alone. I think that that was an issue, for better or for worse, that everyone noticed. You know, people in relationships complaining or having a difficult time. People who are alone didn't like being alone as much.
Yeah.
I noticed a lot of guys, I'm just going to say this, there are a lot of guys who I would say that I know a bunch, more than one, several guys that I can think of that I would say could have been in relationships and resisted having a partner, who after the pandemic really like got settled with somebody. Did you notice that?
Well, I know people who like had pandemic romances where they went into lockdown with people who were practically strangers. And I had an invitation myself to do that. And I'm like, yeah, no, that seems like a really bad idea. And, you know, it's worked out well for some, not so well for others. I do think that that the pandemic also made people face their mortality.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if you're in your 30s or your 40s, you're not really thinking about that until there's box trucks full of dead bodies parked everywhere. And you're like, wow, what if I got sick? Who would take care of me?
Right.
And, you know, you usually don't think that till maybe you hit 60 or whenever.
Yeah.
But people, more people were facing that, and more people were sick too. Like, you know, even if you didn't wind up in the emergency room, you're like, wow, I feel really terrible and I wish I had someone to take care of me.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't give a shit. I'm fine dying on my living room floor. The dog will eat me. But, you know, men especially they like to be taken care of.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, most men, they get up, you know, they have a cold and you think that, you know, they're terminal. Men want to be taken care of. They want to be babied. They want to be mothered. They want someone to make them chicken soup. And so, you know, all of a sudden, people who are men, maybe, who might have been reluctant to be in a relationship were, oh, maybe this wouldn't be so bad.
Well, I'm going to say it's humbling for all of us.
Yeah.
And that's what we're really talking about here, because, like, a lot of men, or the men that I'm thinking of, maybe thought they didn't need anybody.
Right. Well, it also taught us all that we definitely need each other.
Mm-hmm.
And, I certainly was like, I need to be around people. I could not be that hermit living in the woods. I would lose my mind.
But you knew that about yourself, I'm guessing. Not to that degree. Really?
Not to that degree.
Were you surprised, or tell me about that?
Well, yeah. I mean, right now, because both places have me being social so much and my job is very social, I do sort of crave my alone time, but only for a limited period of time. You know, it's like, it's good to go home, have some quiet time, turn on my, you know, IV drip of Law and Order and hang out with the dog. But more than a few days of that, and I'm like losing my marbles.
But I also think one of your major talents, I mean, I think you have many talents, but I think one of your outstanding talents is the ability to lead a group of people. I don't think you do it by, like, I'm in charge because I'm the smartest or I know more or something like that. I think you just are really good at getting people to
do what I tell them.
Yeah. I'll say that about Tom Tenney, the director of the station. I mean, there's something about the way that he managed to put this whole, the founder of the station, I should say, Shane is now the way he was able to get everybody in line and nodding their heads to be part of the station. And I think that you have that. And I think that if that's part of your creative juju and you're not doing it, you're not getting a chance to do it, you're not being satisfied as an artist.
Right, yeah.
It's your art,
yeah,
right?
My art is definitely putting people in a room,
mm-hmm,
and having them have a good time,
mm-hmm,
doing whatever. And that's what's been interesting with Heckit, is that people are loving what I'm doing even without the booze.
Right.
Which, you know, certainly, and, you know, there are lots of things that people say about alcohol. It's a social lubricant. It's, you know, but even without the social lubricant, it's the vision is working.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
that's really gratifying when people really understand what it is I'm trying to do and get the vision and are enthusiastic about it and are consumers of it, because, you know, it helps to pay the rent. My landlord at the new place is like, oh, it's so great that you're doing well and are able to pay the rent. So,
well, yeah, paying the rent on a on something that's not selling alcohol is not easy, folks. You can, I'm sure, right?
Yeah. Well, fortunately, I mean, the reason why I wound up with that exact space is that it's directly across the street from Lucky. So
right,
there I am looking at this sign across the street. I'm like, well, it used to be a dry cleaner. I don't know what I could turn it into. But when I found out how inexpensive the rent was, my feeling was I could be paying the rent there with the extra money from Lucky.
Hmm. Smart.
Well, that was, as I was telling you earlier, last summer, we were making crap tons of money at Lucky because everyone could go out, but they couldn't go anywhere, really.
Mm-hmm.
And so New York City was sort of a captive audience. This summer, I was not making money hand over fist like I was last summer because everyone could travel the world again and everyone took advantage. And, you know, the East Village wasn't as hopping this summer as it was last summer. But now both are sustaining themselves.
Do you have feelings about serving alcohol? Like what from that you have to, I mean, it's, I, you know,
well, I'm a Gemini, so it's both sides of the street.
I love it.
Both sides of my personality. It's like the angel on shoulder on one side of the street and the devil on my shoulder on the other.
But do you have feelings about getting all these people alcohol, and then do you feel like more, is there better about not giving them alcohol? Do you have feelings about that? Or are you saying, or do you ever think like this place would be more fun if these people would drink? Like, what's your feelings about the two?
No, I mean, the idea is to have both. Mm-hmm. And if you want, there was a guy who came into Lucky and looked at the menu and said, can you make me a virgin, whatever, whatever. And I said, why would I do that? You can walk across the street and get that. I'm not going to, I mean, unless if he had come to an event and there were 30 or 40 people in the bar, I wouldn't have even blinked. But the bar was empty. It was like 1 o'clock on a Monday. Right. And I said, if what you're looking for is an alcohol-free cocktail, walk across the street and get that. Because making you a virgin, whatever, I don't have all the tools.
Right.
So I don't have the alcohol-free tequila that we have across the street. And if you're wanting that experience, then just go across the street.
So tell me about the traffic flow. I mean, how about like the hours? Like do the same, like, you know, a bar is like starts getting crowded at 6 or whatever. Is the hours kind of the same? And
well,
I mean, people gravitate or
we open both places at noon. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, I do have coffee at Lucky. I bring in the Keurig for hot drinks when the weather gets cold, but, you can get coffee and tea at Hecate starting at noon. So people will come in like they would go to a Starbucks or the Bean or whatever and plug in their laptop, work from home, have a coffee, have a tea, have a couple coffees or teas. Mm-hmm. And which you can't really do, like especially in the summer at Lucky. If you come in, you can sit there on your laptop, but people are usually having a beer. Mm-hmm. And it's nice to be able to offer both. Mm-hmm. But we were only open till 10 p.m. at Hecate. I'd like to expand that from 9 a.m. till 11 or 12 at night soon. I'm going to be buying a fancier coffee machine so we can expand that. But, you know, and even at Lucky, post-pandemic, people are not staying out as late.
Like right.
We only are open till 4 a.m. now. Only on Friday and Saturday, because people just don't drink as late as they used to. And like Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Tuesdays we have this goth party called Dark Water Tuesdays, and that usually goes late. But for the most part, people aren't staying out late. Wednesdays are Burning Man happy hours most weeks, and we'll be open till maybe 2. Mm-hmm. And Thursdays, 2 or 3, and then Fridays and Saturdays till 4. Mm-hmm.
So can people bring the coffee to the liquor bar?
Yes. You can bring anything. You can take anything that's at Hecate to go, because there's no liquor license liquor.
Right.
And I'm not doing to-go drinks, which is now legal.
Is it?
At Lucky, because you're supposed to order food to go with it, and I just don't get me started on the food with the booze
because
thing.
Because you were, during the pandemic, really, a lot of people, everyone was deeply affected, but you were really out front. Like, you did tell.
I'm a troublemaker. Watching Cuomo every day religiously. He was like, you know, dad telling us, you know, how to navigate through this. And when they said you could reopen with to go, I only did that for 2 days. And it was mostly just to get the taps flowing again, because they had said, if you have outdoor space, you can have outdoor drinking. So I have a backyard at Lucky, and I was having people drinking outdoors. And then he lost his mind and said, I said outdoor dining, not outdoor drinking, and you have to order food with your alcohol, which I thought was a load of bullshit, because it didn't have anything to do with safety or health or anything, because that actually made it more dangerous. You know, it was, there were more germs involved with food.
Right. Than you're right just, about that.
I mean, you could
you're
stick, right you could stick a straw under your mask and drink super
you're right.
safely,
you're
but
right.
you can't eat.
No, you're right about
so
that.
So I was pissed and I started a petition and I said, I want this executive order reversed because it doesn't take any health or safety in mind. And I got 5,000 signatures on the petition and the story was on, and you know, 1010 Wins, and it was on NY1 and it was in the Post. And like 48 hours after it was in all the press, the Department of Health came and said, why aren't the people in the backyard eating food with their, you know, booze?
Eating potato chips.
Well, potato Cuomo chips weren't a thing. It had to be hot and don't even.
Oh,
that's another
I didn't
whole
know that.
Other
okay,
thing.
Go
yeah,
ahead.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I said, well, I'm taking Governor Cuomo at his word. He said that we would get 3 strikes. And this is my first strike because I'm protesting this executive order. And 24 hours later, they slapped a big thing on my door and they shut me down for the SLA, shut me down for a month.
Oh.
And it was August. I lost even more money. They slapped me with a $30,000 fine,
disgusting.
Which was another bunch of bullshit because Cuomo had said, we'll suspend your liquor license or give you a $10,000 fine. So as soon as this went down, my friend, Wiley Stecklow, who is a civil rights attorney, he's Reverend Billy's attorney.
Oh, okay.
He keeps Reverend Billy out of jail all the time. He called me up and he said, I think your civil rights have been infringed upon. You know, you were trying to go to your publicly elected official and have redress for this thing that you thought was wrong. And you were retaliated against for doing that. And so we sued the state liquor authority and Governor Cuomo because I need my head examined. And we won. The $30,000 fine was reduced to $10,000, which was still cumbersome.
Oh, wow. You know what?
Why don't we just ignore it like we did last time?
Well, I have to explain to the listeners why they're getting this unpleasant sound. So since Abby has been here, she came like, you know, half an hour before the show started. This is the third time that the fire alarm has gone off. And the first time we got anxious and checked and then
it was just
found out that it was, you know, there's a boy who cried wolf problem here.
Yes, well.
A big one.
Let's not be self-immolating here. Hopefully it'll stop.
Yeah, I don't smell anything burning, though.
And this is a big brick building. I'm not too worried.
It's giving me a headache, though, right?
It's, yeah,
it's very, very unpleasant.
Yes. Oh, well, we've got
headphones on.
Wow.
I'm really hoping this stops.
Maybe you can take it out in post. Hey.
Wow. Do you think we can continue this?
I guess we could talk over it. I don't feel like I'm in any danger, but the listeners are probably going, oh, that's making my ears hurt.
Yeah, I don't know.
Talking through the yeah.
Wow.
Oh. It does have that pause where you're like, oh, it's going to stop.
I know. This is unfortunate. That's all I can say.
Yeah, I mean, we can just talk over it.
I feel like your vibe just got so intense that, like, somehow it just exploded. Okay, you want to try? We can keep going.
Yeah, we can just
keep
talking.
Let's keep going. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Where were we? We were talking
I was suing the state liquor authority
and
the governor.
Oh, yeah, keep going.
But we won. We won, things were...
But did that change the rules for everybody? I mean, you kind of spoke up for
everyone. The executive order was not reversed. And, loads of other people got fined for not forcing you to eat food with your, drink. And it to this day, And I understand our elected officials were doing their best under extenuating circumstances. It was a pandemic. It's been over 100 years since the last one. And people didn't know how to deal with it. But I would like that $10,000 back, Mayor. I would like to
get But do you feel like there's an, whatever you did that help other
No, it didn't.
That's a shame.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
no. It did get a lot of press. I mean, it got people talking about it and pointed out the hypocrisy of it.
Right. Well, I mean, in the end, capitalism wins out. I think
you're right about that.
It was less about public health and more about capitalism and make sure, like, we got to get these businesses back open because we need the tax dollars. So just open up and it, like, who can, like. Really, what was COVID only knowing that, you know, infecting you if you were standing up and not sitting down? We weren't allowed to serve.
Oh, yeah, remember that.
Yeah, you could sit and have a drink, but you couldn't stand and have a drink. It was all just really preposterous.
Well, I felt like Cuomo didn't really have an idea what actually going out in New York City might be like. That's
well,
what made me
yeah.
think.
I mean, he didn't understand. And a lot of, I mean, I could see it was probably just a bunch of politicians and horrific Zoom meetings trying to figure out how to keep from killing more people but keep the economy going, and they were just floundering miserably. And you know, I've never held a lot of stock in our elected officials. I don't think that they always do what's best for the people, but this really just sort of made me feel like, wow, they don't have our best interests in mind at all. It's all about the almighty dollar.
It's also really funny when we think back on like how Cuomo in those days seemed like a completely different person. We don't even think about him anymore, but he was sort of like...
Well, now that he's been disgraced with all these sexual harassment lawsuits.
I know, but at the time...
At the time, I was hanging on every word because we were all scared shitless. People were dying all over the place.
I know,
But the panic that we were all feeling needed to be better handled, frankly.
Yeah, well, but the thing is, I think he did a lot of horrible things. I'm not denying that, but at this, and I don't forgive him by any means, but at the same time, I kind of am grateful for how...
Well, he was the voice of reason, and yeah, he was reassuring. He was very reassuring.
The only reassuring person in the country.
Yeah. I mean, he was sort of the one that everyone was listening to throughout the pandemic. It was his voice that like everybody else's governors, everyone was listening to Cuomo, which also made him more powerful. And that's, you know, was part of the whole idea with the petition. It's like, look, I believe you. You're doing a great job, but maybe you'd want to revisit this because it doesn't make any sense. It isn't safer to be in my backyard drinking with the chicken McNuggets that I was serving than without the chicken. They weren't McNuggets. They were little dinosaur shaped chicken things, but it wasn't any. And it like the waste was crazy. Like I was buying giant bags of these things and microwaving them to be in compliance, and people were feeding them to their dogs or throwing them in the garbage. Meanwhile, other neighborhood bars, one neighborhood bar had a, like bologna sandwich in saran wrap, and it was like an art piece in the middle of the table. So you got up and left, and they left the same sandwich, but charged you a dollar to have that sandwich sitting in front of you so that they'd be in compliance.
I know.
No one was following the actual law.
I know.
It was just ridiculous.
Know,
it was a waste of food. It was a waste of money. It was
more dangerous.
Yeah.
It
had nothing to do with safety at all.
So when you were a kid, were you always organizing groups?
I was a troublemaker when I was little, my whole life.
Tell us a story about something that you did organizing the other kids. I'm sure there's got to be a really good
one. Well, we were always at my house because my parents were super cool, and everybody else's parents would say, does that Abby Eamon make you smoke pot? Because they just assumed that everyone was drunk and smoking pot. And when I was in high school, with all these kids partying at my house, I didn't drink in high school and I didn't smoke pot in high school. I still have never smoked pot. Wow. To this day, I have never taken a hit off of a joint or a cigarette ever. I mean, I eat gummies all the time now because it keeps me like from, you know, stabbing people. But, I've still to this day have never smoked pot, but was everybody's parents just thought because I was the ringleader that I was also making their kids misbehave.
Did the kids that were coming to your house, did they drink or smoke pot?
They would drink on their way to my house and like show up drunk and then throw up. And my mom would like clean up after them and not rat them out. So, because my mom was super cool.
So is that it? Your parents were just really like, they
were cool. They weren't like hippie parents or anything. They were normal parents, but they just weren't hypocrites, you know?
You mean because they drank?
Yeah. And they, and you know, there was no sense in getting the kid in trouble. The kid shows up drunk, throws up, and my mom would just like make sure they were okay.
But they also must have trusted you. Your parents must have trusted you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I would lean into my parents' bedroom at night and say, okay, we're all sneaking out tonight. And we would all sneak out. And it was a thing. We weren't breaking the law, except for being out late at night.
But you must have gotten like decent grades and things.
Yeah. I mean,
Did you get good grades?
Yeah, I got good grades. And, you know, wasn't really ever in trouble.
So. Wow. And it's, wow. But people, it's just like you had a fun place to hang out.
Yeah. And it was like, we had a pool and my parents stocked the refrigerator with soda for us and we had an M&M jar and a
cupboard full of potato chips. So your parents loved that too.
Yeah. They liked having everybody around. Yeah.
Right. So that's genetics. So.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So
my sister has a problem with it too.
What do you mean?
She's a big party thrower also. Only hers are... She loves holiday parties and she's involved on a lot of boards. She lives in San Francisco. So it produces a lot of big fundraiser events in San Francisco.
So she's always got people around
too.
Were your parents like that? Did they have a lot of parties?
Yeah, they had loads of parties. Yeah.
Yeah.
They were fun, really fun.
Oh, it sounds like a great family.
Yeah.
Or a fun family to be around.
Yes. The whole family, even the extended family, is fun.
So I would say that your childhood sounds like you had a lot of fun.
Yes, I had a blast.
That's amazing.
Yeah. No complaints.
Great. And so you're sharing that.
Yeah.
Wow. That's very...
Joie de vivre.
That's very cool.
How can you believe this garbage?
I know. We have 8 minutes left. Or really seven. And I really wanted to talk a little bit about what kind of events. I really wanted to get a clean, this is really disturbing. As a radio show host, yeah. This is disturbing. This is why you should be this is why you should be donating to Radio Free Brooklyn.
Well, I don't think that would make a fire alarm.
So. Well, we could, yeah. Well, no, but we would, you know, we would have better production or whatever. Money solves everything. Money, I don't know. We would have a fireman on site. If we had enough money, that would be our first thing. We'd just get the fireman and we'd get him in here every single day. So I want to hear about, like, you like to encourage having events. I mean, you're obviously somebody who's great with events and you want people to come and have events. And
yeah. Tonight we've got Oversize, which is my friend Claudius.
Yeah.
He's producing an event. It's sort of spoken word and music and sort of a free form. He'd like it to be open mic, but we'll, you know,
see what happens.
Yeah. We'll see what happens. The last one he did a month ago, he booked so many of his friends that there wasn't time for the open mic. But I've got, we've got Listen Up, which is a monthly spoken word comedy and live music event. They're on the 1st of October. One of our resident craft mistresses, Daniela, will be doing a Halloween themed workshop. She hasn't quite decided what she's going to do yet. And our other craft mistress, Pinky, is going to be doing a Halloween headpiece workshop, I think, on the 16th. And we do like pop-up shops and got Beltane May 1st. We had a huge thing. It was super fun with a maypole in the middle of Avenue B. So, I'm inviting people to come and host. This is what I'm saying.
So people who are listening could pitch their event to you.
Yeah, and we want to celebrate people's soberversaries. And I'm looking forward to a sober New Year's Eve party, which I think should be super cool because just because you don't drink doesn't mean that you need to be in bed by 10 o'clock on New Year's Eve.
Are you not going to drink on New Year's, Abby?
Oh, I'll probably be working, so I can't say.
Really?
Depends on where I'm working. I love to work New Year's Eve, and Last New Year's Day was the first New Year's Day that Lucky wasn't closed. And that was fun because it was a Saturday and we just decided to be open. It used to be the only day of the year that Lucky would be closed.
Oh, right.
But, we'll see. And I'm sure that that Heckett will be open New Year's Day because none of our customers will be hungover.
Mm-hmm. So, well, there you go. That's right. So what kind of events, like, can people, like, pitch you ideas?
I haven't said no to anyone yet.
You haven't said no to anyone yet. And how would they get in touch with you?
Just send me an email at Heckett, HEKATENYC at gmail.com.
And you're open to pretty much anything.
Anything, yeah.
Yeah.
We've done, book parties with readings and rich, like, we had a book party where there was a ritual and a reading and books for sale.
You have a calendar and loads
of stuff going on. You can look at the events on the website, which is HeckettNYC.com, mm-hmm. or on the Facebook page, which is Heckett Cafe and Elixir Lounge on Facebook.
And I also looked at the menu, and it's very vast.
Heckett. And growing all the time. So we're gonna start using a QR code, which I know was a pandemic thing, but it allows me to update the menu on a daily basis, which I can't do with a printed menu. So, like, just over the past month, all of the people who work for me have invented drinks. Like, you can come in and tell us what flavors you like, and we'll dream something up for you.
Wow.
And so all of the new, we have to factor in all the new cocktails that people have come in and invented, and that's going to be a little bit more dynamic. And so we'll have a printed one for people who need something to hold in their hands, but we'll also have the QR code so that I can update. Like, if you came in tonight and we invented a drink called, you know, Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit, it can be on the menu by tonight.
So it could be, wow. So I could have like a Dr. Lisa cure-all or something.
Yeah, totally. Totally. And we have actually
Lisa syrup.
We have drinks with curative properties. So
I'm on that. So tell us, can you go? I mean, I have it written down here, but you have it in your head. So why don't you tell us, like, go through the info again.
Heckett Cafe and Elixir Lounge. Right now we're open noon till 10 p.m. 7 days a week. We have coffee, tea, and alcohol-free cocktails, seltzers, and zero ABV beers. Mm-hmm. We're adding to that all the time. I'm about to bring on a tea, not necessarily a partner, but I'm going to start buying a wide selection of tea from Whistling Kettle Teas. They're out of Albany and Troy. They have three or four places upstate. And I was up there for a funeral and I went into their shop and really loved their vibe. Mm-hmm. We don't have a coffee partner yet, but we might be bringing in Dead Sled Coffees because they're goth and I think they'd go well with the witchy theme.
I like that.
And we've got almost all of the alcohol-free spirits, Liars, Seed Lip, Clear Company, you know.
The cocktails really, I mean, I have to say the menu of alcohol-free cocktails is very extensive and very exotic.
Yes, we've got a zero ABV mezcal or plain tequila jalapeno margarita.
Yeah,
that's very delicious.
Yeah.
Really delicious.
I mean, come on. Never heard of that before. Have you?
We also use apothecary products, which is these powders that do all kinds of wonderful things for you. There are mood lifters and things that are good for inflammation, and they're just health-related stuff.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. It's impressive.
They're magical
guys.
Elixirs. It isn't just, you know, fake booze.
Right. That's an excellent point. So anyway, Abby, a joy to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
And I just want to say thanks again for listening to Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit. I'm here every Thursday, 2 to 3. You can look me up on Instagram, Dr. Lisa Levy, SP. Go to our website, donate money. RadioFreeBrooklyn.org. And don't forget about the craft fair, for God's sakes, all right? Make sure you get to the craft fair, the Peters Valley Annual Craft Fair, petersvalley.org. Dr. Lisa Gives a Shit.